Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, August 22nd, 2014. And with me today, I have two men with mysterious pasts, or at least interesting job histories. And that would be John Martellaro. How are you, John?
International man of mystery.
That would be you, yes. And quite dapper in a tuxedo, I must say. And Brian Chaffin, how are you, Brian?
Word to your mother, daddy-o.
Daddy-o, also very dapper in John's tuxedo.
Yes, I am also wearing John's tuxedo. And John forgot to mute something.
I forgot to mute my iMac.
Yeah, and we all know your iMac has a crush on you, and she likes to say things to get your attention. It's really adorable.
It's Serena.
Yeah, you and Serena. Yeah. John and Serena sitting in a tree.
Yeah, well, I like Serena to announce the time because she has a British accent. I think it's so darn cool.
Yeah, you totally have a crush.
I do.
But that's not the point today. Or at least not our primary topic.
Although Thank goodness.
Yeah. Yeah, the first thing I wanted to talk about today is this news that Apple has been in talks with insurance providers, healthcare insurance providers, about HealthKit. The deal is that Apple has apparently been talking with United Health Group and with Humana, both of which are like really big health insurance providers, and they want to get them on board with HealthKit. And I find it very interesting just where that could lead, because so far Apple has been focusing, as far as we know, just on healthcare providers as opposed
doctors
to
doctors and hospitals, research hospitals and the like.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's interesting, right? There's a world – we don't know why. We don't know what it is that Apple wants from these insurance providers. But what we were pitched at WWDC is that HealthKit is a secure way, a secure I don't want to call it a platform. It's a secure method for us as users to control health and fitness related data related to any kind of device that tracks your movement, your activity, your blood pressure, your heart rate, your glucose level, insulin levels, things like that, right? So it was pitched to us as a way for us to control this, and then for us to, if we so chose, send that information to our doctors and or hospitals, right? That's how it was pitched to WWDC.
Yes, that's exactly how it was pitched.
Which sounds awesome.
Sure. I like it too. It's so often when you have some sort of issue or problem and you go to your doctor, he's only got a few minutes to spend with you, and it's hard to describe sometimes what the problem is. If you had all this supporting data that you could dump to him very quickly, or he would have on hand ahead of time, he'd be in a lot better position to diagnose the situation.
Especially if he can trust it, or she.
Yeah,
right. That's a big aspect of it too, is actually having this data be something that's actually useful to both us and or our healthcare providers.
I like that aspect of it. I think the doctors don't have it. Doctors are kind of living in the dark ages. You know, you walk into a doctor's office and sometimes they pull out a paper file, although most of my doctors have switched over to electronics and they have a CRT in the office and they're running Windows XP. I keep banging on them. Every time I see that, it grates me. I tell my doctor, you got to get off Windows XP. Oh, well, that's the IT department's problem. Yeah, but still,
you're digressing.
Yeah, I am. I am back from subroutine. So I like the idea of them having that information.
Oh man, truth in advertising.
Oh wow, that was the best thing ever.
So that's good with me, but this insurance thing, I'm not quite on board with.
Well, we don't. Okay, we don't know what it is that Apple is working with them on. I mean, it actually could be, like, for instance, Kaiser Permanente is an insurance company, but they're also direct healthcare providers.
Right.
They maintain. They provide insurance, but it's all through their network of providers, their own facilities in most cases. And I know that that's not the case with these other two companies, but I don't think there's anything here to freak out about. But it is definitely worth considering.
Yeah. Well, everything that moves in a direction like that has its share of issues. For example, my health information might be very trustworthy when it's on my phone. When it gets into their computers and it's attacked by Chinese hackers, and social security numbers and healthcare records are, you know, hacked by the millions, then I'm worried.
That's going to happen. There is nothing that's going to come from HealthKit that is going to be more interest to a hacker than what your health insurance company already has on you, which is your Social Security ID and your everything associated with your ID.
Well, yeah, unless they get really creative and inventive, you're right. In first order, you're right.
And we also, there is zero reason to even think, let alone assume, that the HealthKit will be transmitting data to your health insurance company without your express permission.
Correct. Right. Yeah, that's one of the tenets of HealthKit.
And you know what this reminds me of? It leverages Apple's focus on security. You know, Apple's been working very hard to emphasize the security of the phone compared to Android. And once you make a case for that, you can start leveraging it effectively. I wouldn't want my health information on an Android phone.
Oh, no.
No, I wouldn't feel comfortable with that. Now, as far as China getting a hold of my Fitbit data, if the number of steps I take every day is a national security risk, then we have much bigger problems than we're discussing.
Well,
here.
There's national security risk, and there's commercially motivated hacking. But that's why I said that there's nothing that can come from HealthKit that's going to be more damaging than what your health insurance company already has.
Sure, and I think the potentially most damaging thing out of this would be directly from the health insurance providers, because if they can use this information to create incentives, like if you walk a minimum number of steps every week over a certain amount of time, then you start getting discounts off of your insurance. The flip side is a potential as well, where if they look at your activity and say, wow, Jeff just sits on his butt all day.
They can't do that because of the ACA. There are specific limits as to how much you can be penalized.
That's true, but these are also very creative companies, and I'm betting they could find ways to make our lives more difficult for us if we aren't taking the right number of steps or if our blood pressure is out of a specific...
I'm not worried about that at all.
And we know that. Well, we all know the ACA is going to be repealed, right? After 120 attempts.
and we're talking about the Affordable Health Care Act, also known as Obamacare. Yeah. But I think if anything, the potential here is to reward health people who are actively taking care of themselves. I'm personally not too worried about there being a backlash, and that's coming from an unhealthy person, i.e., me.
Yeah, I think you're right, Brent. I think the bigger thing here is that this could become a tool to reduce healthcare costs for end users, and ultimately for the insurance companies too. Because if they're not having to shell out as much money for coverage, then their profits go up.
All right, so let me actually take the completely opposite opinion that I've just been espousing. What if insurance companies, because I have no doubt that insurance companies would love to get sort of mass data that's not associated with individual people, mm-hmm. For their actuarial tables, as John mentioned before the show. If this was frankly, I could see Google, Facebook, or Microsoft deliberately selling anonymized data to these insurance companies. Right? I mean, yeah. It could be a huge source of revenue, just a massive source of revenue for any of those companies. Apple could theoretically do the same thing, but I cannot imagine Apple doing that.
Neither can I.
I can also see how I have a glimmer that this is a way to make money by skewing the actuarial table. In other words, if you can get people to be incentivized to be healthier through their health kit system, those people, you won't have as much payout for those system, for those people. So you reduce your costs there, and then you skew your actuarial table towards the rest of the people. You still keep the same rates, but you make more money. I think there's an angle there too.
Well, yeah, there's a huge angle in having us be healthier. Insurance companies make more money when we're healthy, even if they eventually are able to charge lower premiums. The less they pay out, the more profitable it is for them. And the less, I mean, you know, the entire economy benefits by us being healthier and by us being covered by healthcare. That was the original point of the Affordable Health Care Act. That was the point for the Obama administration to target healthcare in the first place. It was because healthcare costs were turning into this massive percentage of the GDP, and it was projected to bankrupt the country. That was the impetus behind reforming the way insurance was done, and to get everybody into the insurance pool, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And so the healthcare industry, the doctors, the hospitals, the health insurance industry, the doctors, the hospitals, everyone benefits from us becoming more healthy, except for perhaps the pharmaceutical industry.
Return from sober.
Oh, yeah.
Too.
Good point. So, all right. So it sounds like as long as this is managed appropriately, sharing information through HealthKit with insurance providers could have some positive side effects for us as consumers.
Yeah, it could.
And
absolutely.
Then for the economy.
It should.
It should. And of course, it's one of those things where there's no guarantee because, you know, things play out how they play out. So we'll know in time whether or not this did turn out to be a good thing or not.
Well, another thing that's interesting that I just thought of, Brian, is that as you described ACA, once you start instantiating the savings in our technology, then it moves along in the technology circle naturally. So you sort of institutionalize the whole idea within the technology element of our lives too, which sort of punctuates it and perpetuates it and helps it move along well. Just a thought.
Yep. A quick question for both of you.
Yes.
If you could save 10 or 20% on health insurance by walking a mile a day, and would you do it?
Sure. I'd have no problem with that because I'm trying to walk more than that every day anyhow.
Yeah, fair enough. My mile a day is just kind of, you know, pulled out of thin air. But, I mean, I think...
Sure.
I think that is sort of the direct incentive that a lot of people might need to become more active. I could be projecting there.
Yeah. There's some
room for some good things here.
My feeling is the insurance companies have all these medical records on us anyhow. Maybe I can finally leverage some of that information for my own benefit.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
Yeah,
fans of the show know that I walk every morning, try to. I got 4 out of 5 in this week. And sure, I'll be happy to take 10% off for something I'm doing anyway.
There you go. Hey, we are running short on time, and there's another topic I wanted to take a look at. And this was a report that I found at Reuters saying that the iPhone 6, the 4.7-inch iPhone 6, has already gone into production. And after it went into production, Apple had to stop production because they found out that the way that they had designed the backlighting for the display didn't create enough light. And so because of that, production stopped for several weeks, and now Apple and their manufacturing partners are scrambling to get iPhones made in time so that they can still hit their September launch.
I wonder if this is another one of those rumors where they overestimate the difficulties and underestimate Apple's ability to solve a technical problem.
Or they're trying to view the tapestry by the thread of data from one supplier. Yeah.
I think, Brian, you're probably more on the right track. there's a big problem that I have with this report, which is for a company that pays attention to details down to the level of what type of finish is on a screw inside a case, that they would not have realized that the screen was not bright enough until they're well into production.
Well, it's because they can't innovate with Steve Jobs.
Oh, yes, of course.
No, but seriously, it does not seem like – so let me actually quote something that you wrote, Jeff. Quote, what's more likely, assuming there are production issues, is that suppliers haven't been able to get parts to Apple in the quantities they need to produce the number of iPhones the company wants available for next month's launch. Tying to that, unquote, by the way, it does seem – it seems more likely that if there is a problem with the display, it – was something related to the manufacturing side versus the design side.
That would be far more plausible.
The design seems like the design side would have been figured out many months ago. And of course, this report actually points back to June and July, right?
Right.
Yeah, I think you're right, Brian. I mean, the specifications are given ahead of time. The display will be, you know, so many nits, 500 nits, which is candelas per square meter. So Apple specifies that part way ahead of time, and it's up to the manufacturer to make it so. So yeah, I agree with Jeff, absolutely, and you.
And so something, I don't know, something fair. I doubt that Apple is scrambling. Apple may have scrambled, but that's because Apple scrambles all the time. But my point is that Apple, the scrambling is probably already done. I cannot imagine any scenario in which Apple is scrambling right now for something they're planning on releasing at the end of September or early October.
Agreed. I agree completely.
All right. I suppose it's possible, though.
It's possible, but I think highly unlikely.
Mm-hmm.
And we're out of time.
We should talk in a show soon about how Apple's going to market and position phones of two sizes. I think that'd be a great discussion, don't you?
We'll figure out how to make it happen.
Cool.
All right. Thank you, John. Thank you, Brian, for joining me today. As always, I enjoy the conversation.
Thanks for having us.
And your insight.
Cool.